Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by Dap, who taught us something about wood filler that we'd never heard before, and it's kind of a game changer. We'll share that later in the episode, and you can get more pro tips by following Dap products on social media. That's DAP products on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're sharing a challenging new design job we've taken on, a fun way we're teaming up with HGTV Magazine this summer, and we're talking with a feng shui consultant to learn what it is and how we might be screwing it up.
Well, hello.
Hello, everybody. Remember, we're not supposed to say hi to each other. We have to say hi to the audience.
That was a hi to the audience.
Hello, everyone listening, and thank you so much for joining us today. I have my evening voice on.
This is your radio voice.
This is my voice for radio. Also, theater. Sorry, we're always awkward when we start these things. Rewind all the episodes, you'll notice. Do you even rewind? Restart them on your phone, because this is not a cassette. And you will hear, I'm awkward in the beginning of all of them.
The awkwardness continues.
It does. I just keep going.
She just keeps talking.
What's new with you, honey?
Well, thanks for asking. So Sherry and I have been working on this little kind of side project over the last few months that is really kind of this funny overlap of our worlds a little bit. So as you guys have heard over the last couple of years, Sherry and I have been doing some freelance advertising jobs here and there. Mine have primarily been with the old ad agency that I used to work full time for. And interestingly, at the start of the year, they actually hired us both to help them redesign their new office space. So it was like this weird, oh, my old job and then sort of like my new skills, like coming together in one task.
Colliding, if you will.
And so they moved into a new office space, kind of this like loft area after I left working there full time. And over the last few months, they've kind of been reconfiguring and actually expanding a little bit. And so they needed someone to come in and kind of look at the way they had everything organized. Because I would say it's primarily a space planning challenge, wouldn't you say, Sherry?
Yeah. So the backstory is that they had one office and they were able to purchase the office next door and actually blow out the wall to connect them. So there's now a doorway that never existed. It's twice as large, maybe even 2.5 times as large. It's a lot of drafting different floor plans and moving things around physically to see where they look best.
Yeah, it started just actually as kind of designing their conference room to make it a little bit more polished because that's an outward facing like client room. And so as we were working...
People might not know that term, outward facing.
Oh, outward facing. It's not an internal room.
It means like people see it in the real world. Yeah. It's not like internal and secret.
For an ad agency, it's like your showy place where you're like, look how creative we are. And as we were doing that, they actually acquired, like Sherry said, the office space right next door. And so then we kind of had to go back to the drawing board a little bit and say like, well, now that we have this space as well, what functions work best in which places? What kind of furniture can we reuse? Because I would say we're working with a fairly like tight budget. It's not like sky's the limit here.
We're going to places like IKEA and doing a lot of secondhand stuff. And don't get scared when you hear IKEA and think it's going to be boring because there are some amazing elements we've worked into the room thanks to secondhand finds. There's an amazing super tall library ladder. And this new loft room has this exposed brick that's lovely. There's also a Persian rug that I'm so jealous of. It is gorgeous. And it was such a cheap find. I think it was $250. And it's something like 13 feet by 18 feet. It's huge. Like I shouldn't be jealous of it because I don't even have a room in my house that could fit it. It's sort of combining my staging stuff I've been doing of like, where can we move things around and sort of give things a new function or a new refresh, you know, a new tabletop on old legs, for example. And then some other parts of it are definitely like shopping. They need a ton of storage. So we're going to get a bunch of PAX wardrobes. That will be where they keep like files and a lot of stuff. So it's a combination of secondhand and just like pure function. Like we need doors to hide things.
A lot of it is really functional. And I think I am especially keen to that because having worked with these people and like been in the trenches with them, like I'm very in tune with like what are kind of the daily needs and kind of the stress points sometimes of working in an office space where you don't have things where you need it or you don't have access to things as easily. So like I'm the practical one as usual. Uh-huh. For sure. He's like, this would look so pretty. I was like, yes, but let's make sure that the files are available because I remember when I was working, I couldn't get to stuff, you know.
John's the curmudgeon as usual.
It's not a curmudgeon. I'm just, you know, making sure that we deliver something that actually works and doesn't just look good.
I'm the kite, you're the strings.
So we don't have anything like actually finished yet, and I'm not sure what pictures we might have to share eventually of it, but we will certainly keep you guys updated as it comes along.
My hope is to get enough pictures because it's going to be gorgeous that we can maybe do a post. But perhaps if we have a preview or even a picture of things coming together, we can put them in the show notes. So check the show notes. It might be there.
Yeah. Well, and what is new with you, Sherry?
Well, I just have a general beach house update. By the time you hear this, all signs point to us having fully drywalled walls. Meaning,
knock on wood.
Knock on all the wood. Meaning that bathrooms are prepped and ready for us to lay tile. It means that there's not any cavities. You can stick your hand in the wall and touch the insulation or touch the wiring or touch the plumbing. It basically means everything but trim, doors, refinishing the floors, installing cabinets, tile, the very easy stuff, hanging light fixtures, installing toilets. These are all things we're so comfortable doing. It feels like a marathon. But we're getting to the fun part. And so that's the good news.
Yeah, we had talked a couple episodes ago about how we were falling behind and we were feeling a bit discouraged. We are still not on the timeline we had hoped to be, but we figured out a way, just talking to our contractor, to get the HVAC done and actually get the drywall and insulation started. And so it suddenly came together really quickly, and we appreciate our contractor hustling for us a little bit. So it's feeling good. It's feeling like it's going to look like a house. Maybe by the time we actually put the show notes together, there'll be a picture that has drywall in it.
Maybe a video tour of me screaming. Like, you'll have to turn the volume off because I'll be so excited and annoying. You can't listen to my voice in that state.
That may be how some people just feel about this podcast in general.
Just turn the volume down and clean your house. Don't really listen to it.
I just mute the Sherry parts. Anyway, we've got a few updates for you guys. The first one is an exciting update because we have an event coming up that you guys are all invited to, and it is free. On Monday, August 21st, we will be in New York City at the HGTV Block Party. We were there last year with Emily Henderson and Genevieve Gorder and some other great people. And this year we got invited back, which we are very excited for. This year, Ojoy is going to be there.
Sam Yashiro from AwSam on Instagram, if you guys know who that is. She has like a beautiful, brilliant, colorful Instagram account with tons of followers. The editor-in-chief of HGTV Magazine, Sarah Peterson's going to be there. She was there last year. She's so kind. She talks to everyone. She's tiny and cute. It's going to be one of those fun events if you are a blogger or if you just like free stuff.
We'll put a link to the episode we talked about it last time in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. There's also some pictures of it. I think it's best described as, like we said last time, Club HGTV.
Yeah, it's colorful. It's a cool little studio. There's like free drinks and they give like chapstick and you could do projects.
Chapstick, that's the best freebie you could come up with off the top of your head.
I was the most excited about the chapstick because it was that ball EOS kind. Do you know those balls? Yeah, yeah. Those are good. Like lots of fun stuff.
So again, it is on Monday, August 21st in New York City. We'll put all the info in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. And again, it is free.
Please come. You can bring your books. We'll sign them. You can bring your babies. We'll hold them. All the fun, guys.
Anyways, we had some other updates too. For one, we owe you guys an update on episode 53, in which we raved about all of the IKEA products that were now available on Amazon. Yep, sad trombone. Well, that day that that episode came out, IKEA put out a press release basically clarifying that no, that is not them on Amazon.
It's a hoax. Yes. It's someone else using their name, and it's not actually authorized by IKEA.
Yep. So the things that are on Amazon, again, like we looked at it, it says like seller by IKEA. That's how our crack research team
guys, we have
verified this data.
We have a fact-checking department. It's John and Sherry. Yep.
They failed. Once again, they're being fired. Don't worry. Disciplinary action is being taken right now. So anyways, this stuff is on Amazon, but just be warned that it is from third-party sellers. So if you want it legit from IKEA, you got to go to IKEA.com.
But the good news is I actually heard that the hoax sort of started when IKEA made an announcement before the press release saying, that's not us. That was them saying, we're interested in moving to third-party sites. The landscape of retail is always changing and online ordering is such a big thing. So rolling out, hopefully in the future, will be online sales from places like Amazon.
Yes.
So that's how it kind of started. So it does sound like they're moving in that direction. In fact, I noticed when they put out their whole like, that's not us on Amazon, it's someone else. There were lots of comments under it that were saying like, get on Amazon. We really want you on Amazon. So here's hoping they listen to the people. And also in episode 53, I have an update on that house I staged. It sold in 24 hours with multiple offers. I do not pat myself on the back for my staging. The house was
awesome. She does a little
bit,
guys. She does a little bit.
I'm proud because it would be sad if it just sat there because it's a gorgeous house. But like I said in episode 53, I knew going into it, the house was amazing. It probably didn't even need my help. But clearing things out, I think, helped people focus more on the house than on the furnishings. And they see all the amazing features it had. And I was never prouder. The realtor texted me and said, one offer, another offer, another offer, multiple bids. And I was like, I was the emoji of the screaming ghost. I was so excited. And one last update is that we heard from so many of you after the reality TV, What's Faked, which was also episode 53. A bunch of people recommended a show called Escape to the Country, which is apparently the British version of House Hunters. It's like their version, so it's not exactly the same. And one of the paramount differences is that people don't always buy one and it looks very not set up. Many times at the end, they haven't picked a house. I think someone said they watched 22 episodes and only one person in the 22 episodes was fully settled and bought a house. But she said, I'm surprisingly okay with the ambiguity and the not knowing because I love that it's real and I love seeing their real reactions.
There's like some actual stakes.
Yeah. And I guess you know that when they react to things, that's their real reaction because they're not playing it safe down the middle so that you're surprised to see which one they pick. Right. It's really not about that.
They're not like fake reacting to the house that they've already put a contract on.
Exactly.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix and it's called Escape to the Country. I think we should totally like binge watch a few episodes and see how we like
it. And if you want the American version of it, we discovered a show on HGTV on the weekend called We Bought the Farm or something. It's House Hunters, but people buying farms.
Yeah, that's interesting to watch because they're like, oh, this doesn't have, insert word I don't know, like a riding ring.
Most of the people in the episodes we watched like knew not the first thing about having horses or sheep or anything. And they were like, but I would love to have an 8-horse stable.
Right. And they're like, I still have to learn about how to have a horse.
Right.
Some person showed them a chicken coop and said, maybe this can be a goat house. And I was like, can a chicken coop be a goat house?
We don't know the first thing about farming.
It felt like false advertising to me.
We'd be great candidates for the show.
Well, one guy was obsessed with this red barn. Were you sleeping for that part? Yeah, John fell asleep. But there's this guy who was obsessed with a red barn. And then the realtor's like, yes, that is a gorgeous barn. It's not part of the property. And so the rest of the episode, he's looking out the window and he's like, that red barn. So I'd recommend both of those, actually. Although, for sure, the We Bought a Farm is set up because it's the same format. It's three and they always get one at the end. But it still was very interesting. Clearly, I'm not deterred.
Well, since I think we've milked at least episode 53 for all the updates we can get, let's move on to our phone call for today. We're going to give a ring to Tanaya Kohler. She is a feng shui consultant and design consultant. I am really fascinated to talk to her because feng shui is one of those like terms that I kind of loosely am familiar with, but have no real ideas to what it means or if it's really helpful.
John's always the skeptic. I'm like, if someone's like, oh yeah, bad vibes if you do this, I'm like, I'll never do that again.
Sherry's the woo-woo of our couple. I'm the, huh?
I'm the woo-woo, you're the say what?
But we're both excited to talk to her because I want to learn more about it. So let's give her a ring. Hello?
Hello.
I have so many questions for you because I feel like the way you design your home, the way you put things in a room, you know, the whole vibe of your house clearly has impacts on how you feel about living there and your sort of happiness living there. But sometimes, at least what I hear with feng shui is like these rules of this should go there and you shouldn't have more than X number of things,
Or like it's a good color and a bad color. And then you start to feel like, oh, am I doing it wrong? Myself?
Right. What have I screwed up?
Yep.
So why don't you clear up for us, like what, as you practice it, what is feng shui?
You know, feng shui at its most basic, at its most core, is really about how you feel in your space. So when you say, you know, the vibe of your house has an impact on how you feel about living there, that's spot on. But there is a lot of confusion, I think, for people around feng shui because there are multiple different practices of feng shui, more traditional practices, more liberal practices in a sense. And so the more traditional, like at its most base, does feel a little superstitious. And feng shui doesn't have to be that way. So, for example, one major overarching rule in feng shui is called being in command of your space. And what that means is that when you are in command from where you sit, you can see the main door into that space. Because when you have your back to the door, you're not in command of that space behind you, which means that your subconscious often is going to constantly be having these little interruptions of, oh, what's happening behind me? And you want to set up your furniture so that when you sit in it, your body is able to fully relax and decompress in the case of a couch or a bed. You want to allow yourself to be in a place where you can focus and be productive when you're at a desk, for example.
I'm like the CEO of the office because my desk completely faces the door and it floats. So I am completely centered and everyone's like, oh, so Sherry's your boss when they walk in, because John is like on the side of the room by his choice. He was like, I don't mind staring at the
wall. I'm feeling like I failed at this. I like faced the wall with my back to the door. So I'm definitely not in the commanding position.
But we are in spinny chairs. So it's very easy for us to pivot and see what the kids are doing, who's behind. Like, I feel like it's not perfect, but you're also not like sitting in a four-legged chair facing the wall and stuck there.
Right. But I love how you said, you know, I feel like the CEO and everyone thinks I'm the boss, because you're in that position where you really are more in command and it allows you to focus in more on your work. And, you know, John, I would say about the staring at the wall, it's so very common for desks to face the wall. And I have had my desk in many different iterations, and because of the space, it certainly has been up against the wall in different places. But when your desk is up against a wall, basically it represents your work feeling like you're up against a wall. And so I don't know if you feel that way, but there are some things that you can do though, because in feng shui, the nice thing is that you can always remedy a problem that exists if you can't move your furniture around. And so, for example, if your desk is up against a wall and you can't shift it, then you can put up on the wall in front of you a piece of artwork, ideally that's a landscape that has depth to it, so that you're looking into something, so that it's kind of extending, it's opening up the wall, so that it's not a wall, it's an image that you can look into and really kind of fall into.
We did.
What if it's a mirror that reflects the windows?
I was going to say, we did have a piece of artwork like that, but we moved it. Now I have a mirror.
And that's the next thing that I was going to say. If you put a mirror and it's reflecting the world outside, that's fantastic. And, you know, the only caution that I would say about mirrors is that whatever they reflect doubles in your life. So you just want to make sure that your mirror is reflecting something that you want in life, like, you know, the window and outside. Because sometimes I do find that mirrors reflect clutter, or that mirrors reflect, you know, something that you don't want to have double in your life.
What if it reflects our children? Does it mean we're going to have two more by accident?
Maybe.
Well, now I have a fruit-related question, just to be completely random. On The Real Housewives of Orange County, there's a character named Shannon, and she says something about 9 lemons. I wondered if you could shed light on why 9 lemons in a bowl are like this amazing feng shui thing.
And for the record, I did not approve of this question.
I love it. So in feng shui, there are different areas that have different numbers associated with them. That being said, that tends to be the more traditional style of feng shui. The style of feng shui that I use is much more the Western style of feng shui, because that's why it was created, because it's more intuitive for the Western consumer. And so in feng shui, there are areas where you do want to pay attention to the numbers of things that you put in that area. So for example, the relationship area of your home is the back right corner of your home. And in the relationship area, it's ideal to put things in pairs. And I'll tell you about one client that I worked with, and in her bedroom, she had artwork that was entirely single women, or, you know, a single, you know, animal, but all single things. And so really it's about creating that reflection in your space of what you want in your life. And so in your relationship area, that back right corner, or in your bedroom, you want to put things in pairs that reflect that relationship that you want, if that's what you're looking for.
What if you're in a relationship, but in your bedroom, you have two pictures of single ladies? Because that's me.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder here, Sherry. Are you trying to send a message?
They're both in the water. We love like beachy and water art. And we both picked them. In fact, one was a gift from John. So I very much associate it as an us thing.
Oh, so you're saying I was sending a message.
Well, not a me thing. I don't think it's like I subconsciously want to be a single lady because we've bought them together. But we also have pictures of us with our children and us together on our honeymoon. So I feel like, is that enough to diffuse the single ladies?
And so you make a really good point, because it really is all about the balance of things. You know, the artwork of single ladies could, you have two of them, so that's a pair, you know, so that could potentially be okay. It depends how you feel about them. But what a lot of people do is they have in their bedroom pictures of their family, pictures of people that's not just them. And what I always recommend is that you pull those out of your bedroom, because quite honestly, when you want to be with your partner, you don't really want your family staring at you. You know?
What if it's like your kids looking down or swimming, or they're not like making eye contact?
I don't think that makes it better. What if it's just your kids?
They're a product of love, John.
This is a family podcast.
They are absolutely a product of love. And I think that, again, that's where it comes in. Like, how do you feel about it? I think, quite honestly, they're looking down, not at you. That actually does help.
Right? Like, no, so, I don't want eyeballs.
Yeah, I think it's all about how you feel. And really, I've worked with people who have had dozens of family photographs all in their room. And this particular client was not in a space where she felt like her marriage was suffering. She felt like things were going pretty well. But that, you know, they had three kids. They were really in the thick of it. But what happened when she cleared out her bedroom, not only of the family photographs, but of the crib that was underneath her bed, and her youngest child was an 8-year-old, you know, of that clutter that can tend to collect, when she cleared all of that out, all of a sudden, she felt like her relationship was more vibrant. Like, instead of climbing into bed at night and reading a couple pages and turning out the light, they felt like they had more time for one another, just a little more space and time to connect.
That reminds me of someone once telling us to not have any desk space in your bedroom.
Yes.
I feel like coming off of the days of like living in a dorm or first apartment where you really only have a bedroom as your own space, you know, you put so many functions in there, and remembering sort of how nice it was to move that out of my bedroom once I had an actual house where I could relocate that. I never thought of that as a feng shui decision, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. So your bedroom is the second most important area of your home in feng shui. And so when I work with people who are having difficulty sleeping, or who wake up feeling exhausted, or who are potentially having difficulty in a relationship, the bedroom is really the first place that we start. And I've worked with a lot of people who have their work on their bedside table, who have their laptop on their bedside table. And those things, again, are things that are going to make it more difficult to sleep.
Well, especially with smartphones now. I'm like, well, I don't have my office or my computer in there, but my phone's next to me all night.
That's true of, I would say, probably 80% of people. A lot of people have their smartphone on their bedside table. And what I recommend for people is to turn it on to airplane mode at night.
My friend does that because she says she likes to wake up before she notices she has like 30 emails.
Yes.
So she puts it in an airplane just for like a mental state check. So she's not like freaking out in the shower over the emails. She like gives herself a shower first.
I love that, because it's so important to be able to have that space in the morning where you're intentionally starting out your day so that you're really on your best foot. So I love that she gives herself that space to feel good before she jumps into it.
What I think is that in the shower, I think of all the things I ordinarily would have forgotten because I was launched right into my email. So she's like, that's where I remember I wanted to call my friend and thank her for something. That's when I remember I wanted to drop by my kids at school and have lunch with them. So she's like, it's sort of like giving my life more breathing room so that work doesn't creep in, because like, you shouldn't be doing work in the shower.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And it's so interesting because I love the work that I do. And sometimes I'll be thinking about, you know, especially if I'm working on a big project or remodel or something, in the shower, I will absolutely be coming up with wild and crazy ideas. But what allows you to do that is when you give yourself that chance to break from it.
Yeah, we often have our best ideas for our own house when we're on vacation and we come back, or we've been at someone else's house. Like, you can stare at the room that you're stuck on all day, but it's almost like when you remove yourself from that space where you're stuck, you get unstuck.
Absolutely. And I love that you bring up, you know, having your best ideas on vacation and then you come back, because one really fantastic tip that I always love giving is that when you do leave for vacation, or when you go and you have an experience that allows you to kind of grow as a human being, or it has created some sort of shift for you even, what's really important to do is to come back to your space and to shift something about your space. Because what happens for people is they'll go on vacation, they'll have this amazing, lovely time, they'll feel so relaxed, and they come back home and their space is the same as it was before they left. And there's this, you walk the same patterns and you have the same habits. And when you shift something physical in your space, when you look at that space, it reminds you of that ease that you felt. So it's really a wonderful thing to come back home and to create a shift. And like you said, oftentimes when you come home, you'll have a little inspiration, an opening that you didn't see before, a way to set up your space a little bit differently in a space that, you know, potentially wasn't working.
Yeah, it's like fresh eyes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you earlier, you said the bedroom is the second most important room. What is the first most important?
Good question. So the most important area of your home is the entrance to your home. And that's because it's your first impression. It's the first impression that you have. It's the first impression that visitors have. But also because in feng shui, that is the mouth of qi, which means it's where all the energy comes into your life, all the opportunity comes into your life. And so I'm so glad you brought this up, because so often in our homes, the front door tends to be a placeholder that doesn't get used. And that's not how all homes are, but a lot of homes that were built and designed more recently, they have that attached garage. People come in through there.
You're exactly describing our home.
Yeah, we use our door like
that's where we get packages.
Exactly. And that's so common. But when people come in a side door, it's more of a service entrance. So sometimes the laundry is there, or sometimes the mail is there, or sometimes it's into a space that is a little bit more cluttered. And so it can make it so that when you walk into your space, you're surrounded by the things that you have to do. But you want to feel welcomed. You want to feel invited. And oftentimes we don't take the time, or we don't think of coming into our space and just stopping and taking a deep breath. So ideally, your entrance makes you feel at ease. It makes you feel like you can relax and you can decompress no matter what it is that you have to do.
I wonder, for anyone who's listening, whose interest has been kind of piqued like mine, how they know that maybe a problem they're having in their house, whether it's just the way it's set up or how it feels. How do you diagnose yourself as someone who needs a heavy dose of feng shui?
Right. Like, how do you identify bad feng shui?
Right. You know, quite often what happens is people begin to experience in their life these greater areas in which their life feels way too busy or feels overwhelming or feels exhausting. And they don't necessarily equate that with their home environment and what that looks like and what that feels like. So there's a number of different times when it's really good to bring in a feng shui consultant. But the work that I do with people when they're feeling really overwhelmed and exhausted in their life is often the work of really decluttering their spaces. Because again, at its most basic, feng shui is about the way that energy flows in and around your things. And when you have far too many things, like most of us do, it's really difficult for the energy to move around your spaces. It's really difficult for new opportunities to come into your life. And areas of your life can begin to feel really stagnant. So when you have those, you know, junk drawers that are so full and you can't find things, looking at the stuff piece is one of the most basic things that I do with people, because that stuff piece, when you really clear out and get rid of all the things that no longer serve you, that you don't need, that you don't love, all of a sudden you're creating space for all this new energy and opportunity to come into your life.
Well, you've certainly given us plenty to think about, but I wanted to end by asking you, if people have another few minutes that they're listening to this podcast before it ends, what's something they should do in their home right now to either identify a feng shui problem they might have or actually improve? Is there a general tip you can give or a starting place you can suggest to everyone listening?
Yeah, absolutely. And a really good place to start is taking a look at that junk drawer that's totally full, taking a look at that closet that's overflowing, taking a look at some space in your house that feels overly full, because those are the spaces that are blocking any new opportunities from coming into your life. For example, I worked with a woman who's really feeling stuck in her health. She was having these health problems that were coming up over and over again. So when you look at the health area of her space, that was basically a huge closet that was pretty packed full. And when you're able to really empty those spaces out, it allows for energy to flow. It allows for the stuck areas of your life to unstick themselves. And so what I really recommend for people is taking a look at an area that's overly full, that's not allowing in fresh energy, and to declutter it.
What if your attic and your garage are a mess?
I think that describes a lot of people. And, you know, again, when you look at an attic, for example, that's a reflection of the future of your life. And so oftentimes attics get really full of a lot of stuff, and it makes it difficult for you to imagine the future sometimes. It makes it difficult to make space for it. So those are spaces, again, that are something to look at. But I always recommend people starting in an area that feels easy, just doing one little thing, shifting a piece of furniture, dealing with a junk drawer. Because as you say, when you create space, you end up opening up that closet time and time again to be like, oh, it feels so good in here. And that creates energy and inspiration to continue. That creates openings in your life to see the next step. So it's always good to start small instead of saying, oh, I've got to tackle the garage this weekend, which is just an overwhelming task.
I love that. Well, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
Thanks, Tanea. I will put a link to Tanea's website in our show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. And she also has a free 3-day email course that you guys can sign up for, where you can get some more feng shui tips and videos to help put it into action in your own homes if you guys are interested in learning more about feng shui.
I'm going to totally sign up. I think I just like being bossed around. I like people to tell me, like,
this is not a true story.
I don't like when you boss me around, but I do like when I read a design article,
I like guidelines.
Yes,
that's what you mean.
Exactly. I like when people say, like, listen, this is more successful than that, versus, I don't know, you could do it one of four ways, yeah, and any of them
way
will
might work, whatever's up to you.
Exactly.
Well, and as usual, we're going to wrap things up with some weird digging, but first a quick break.
This week's episode is brought to you by DAP, who's been in the business of caulks, spackles, adhesives, and more since 1865. And all those years in the business mean they really know their stuff.
So we spoke with Jason, the head of DAP's technical customer service team in Baltimore. They're the experts that answer questions if you call the helpline listed on their product label. And we ask him for some of his best advice.
And what's a common mistake you see people making when they use wood filler?
It's measuring expectations. They assume it's going to make a truly seamless repair without any extra work on their part. Now, normally the recommendation is to stain all your wood first. The reason for that is it seals the pores of the wood and it gives you your target color. So now you know what you're actually aiming for. Next step is to pick the wood filler. You want the wood filler to be as closely matched to your stain color as you can get it without going too dark. You sand everything smooth, and then next step is to come back with that stain yet one more time and use it to fine-tune your color.
I was a little too shy to admit this to Jason, but I had never heard that before. I always assumed you were supposed to match your wood filler to your raw wood, not your stained wood color. You can find DAP's wood filler products at your local home improvement store and follow DAP products on social media for more pro tips. That's DAP products on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Pinterest. Okay, I feel like we talked for a long time with Tanea, so we're going to have to go through these weird diggings fast. Are you ready?
Speed round. So this week, I am digging something that's going to make me sound neurotic, because I've had some trouble finding a bathing suit this season.
I don't think that makes you neurotic.
So, well, I've narrowed it down. You're going to hear the neurosis come out in a second. And I have decided that I only want a black one-piece bathing suit that is a halter, and it has to have some sort of support for the girls, like, if not an underwire, then at least a seam.
I think you lost everyone at the shock of you wanted it black.
There are a lot of needs. So I've been Googling things like underwire, halter, black, one-piece bathing suit. But I'm having a harder time for some reason finding one. Usually I go to Old Navy, I try on three, I like one, I buy it, I'm good for the next year or so. So long story short, essentially after ordering all these bathing suits, trying them on, going to stores, I ended up finding one at the old favorite, Old Navy. It wasn't in the store though. I had to order it online, and it has underwire and it ties and a halter and it's black and it's not too much butt cheek and it's not too little butt cheek. And also I found a great one at Target, which is a little bit of butt cheek. It's like
you never want too little butt cheek.
Well, you don't want like the mom bathing suit where it looks like it's like a diaper. It's so big. You want kind of like it needs to cover and fit your bottom. It can't be loose and baggy like your bottom's going to fall out. And it can't be too tight that you get like what I call quad cheek, which is when your two cheeks become four cheeks because they're essentially sliced in the middle by the bathing suit.
I don't know. That's kind of a sexy look.
So anyway, I'm going to make a big mood board, not of all the bathing suits I tried on because that would take me 5 hours to make. But I'm going to link to a few of the ones I really liked. I'm going to explain this one's a little cheeky, this one's not. It's just a matter of if you want underwire and tie at the neck and all the bells and whistles that I require to keep this body looking the way I want it to in public. But they're like good mom bathing suits. They're not like frumpy and sad, but they're also not like what you'd wear in Cancun on spring break.
Which is not what we're doing.
It's not what we're doing anymore, guys.
Okay, well, speed round. You took up a lot of time.
Sorry.
I'm digging this week another article of clothing. It's a hat, a baseball cap that I found recently. And the reason I'm digging it is because you've probably noticed I wear baseball hats a lot. And
I just realized it's because you're neurotic and you have lots of hat needs.
Yes, it's true. I want to make sure my hat doesn't show too much butt cheek.
No, John has a list of hat requirements.
No, it's not a list. I just like a certain type of fit. Like I don't like that strap in the back. Like I like a tight fit. And I also prefer something that doesn't have a big like logo or emblem. Like I don't need to say like Gap across the front or like Life is Good or something. Like I don't need my hat to broadcast my affection for some certain thing. I just want it to cover my bedhead. It's basically the purpose of a hat in my life.
Or your painted hair if we're doing a project. Right. Sawdust in your hair.
Exactly. So I was so excited when I went to the Gap the other day and I noticed that they just had these plain baseball hats that fit really nice for someone who has a modestly sized head like myself. And so it was like less than $20. I grabbed one. I noticed they are online in like three other colors.
But explain why it's great. So in the back, you guys, you know where there's usually like either a plastic tab that's kind of like on a trucker hat?
Yeah.
Which John hates.
No, I do not like a trucker hat.
So this has instead, it's like a thick, stretchy elastic band, kind of like the Marky Mark underpants.
What?
You know the like thick stretchy
band? It's just elastic. I don't think that's the analogy you need to use.
But it's thick like that. It doesn't say Calvin Klein on it. It just, I think it has like stripes on it.
Yeah.
And it's cute, but it fits your head. So like if someone's ordering it and they're like, I think I might have a larger head than John, will it fit? It's elastic, so it will fit all the heads, but it's not so loose. Like it will be fitted look.
Yes. Yes, it fits great. I'm wearing it right now. In fact, I'm going to order some more because when I find something I like, I go nuts.
Well, by that rationale, I feel like I should order like 15 of this Old Navy bathing suit so next year I don't have the same like spiral while looking for a bathing suit. Thanks for listening. Young House Love has a podcast. We hope you had fun listening to today's episode. Get it? It's a feng shui pun.
Oh, I got it. And I can do you one better. Might I persuade you to leave us a review or rating in Apple Podcasts? It's quick, easy, and hopefully painless.
And keep telling us on social media what you do while you listen. Like Cheyenne on Instagram, who said she puts on her gym clothes, says she's going to work out, but then secretly goes to Home Goods and walks around listening to our podcast.
And don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode, like more feng shui tips.
And hopefully a picture of drywall in our beach house. Fingers crossed.
Later.
Bye. HGTV Magazine Editor-in-Chief Sarah Henderson. No.
Peterson. Kind of like our last name.
The editor-in-chief of HGTV Magazine, Sarah.
My gosh, it's not Sarah. Sarah, I'm sorry. Sherry knows your last name. She just keeps picturing Emily Henderson, apparently.